So we are starting on the Sermon on the Mount, Part 11 today. And if there was a subtitle, it would be Your Treasure. Your Treasure. So if you would turn your Bibles to Matthew 6. We were there last week. And we'll continue on. But last week we saw that Jesus, in the previous section we were looking at, and how there was people exercising hypocrisy. Hypocrisy in giving alms, hypocrisy in their praying, hypocrisy in their fasting, and that word for hypocrisy is acting. It's a mask, like the old players would put on one mask and they would be one thing, and then they'd put on another mask and they would be playing a different part. And Jesus told them, they have their reward. They have their reward. That they were doing it for the praise of men. And they had their reward. But not reward from the Heavenly Father. They had a reward that was temporary and empty. And when compared to the true reward of those wonderful things of giving and praying and fasting and any of the other acts of righteousness, that they would do it with a genuine heart, done with a genuine and loving heart. The reward, as opposed to that very shallow reward of the praise of men, that reward would be a very deep and rich and eternal and a relational reward with and from our Heavenly Father. And they made their choice. The section we're going to be looking at today is not so much of hypocrisy, but it'll be emphasizing self-deception. Self-deception, where you're deceiving oneself. We're going to be looking, starting in verse 19, and we'll be going to the end of the chapter. We're going to read that. We're going to read that, but we're only going to look at the first part of that in depth today. We're just going to read through it. Let the words speak. Verse 19. Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But, rather, lay up for yourself treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. The light of the body is the eye. If therefore the eye be single, thy whole body shall be full of light. But if thine eye be evil, thy whole body shall be full of darkness. And if therefore the light that is in thee be darkness, how great is that darkness? No man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. Therefore, I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what you shall eat, what you shall drink, nor yet for your body, what you shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body more than raiment? Behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, and neither do they reap, nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are you not much better than they? Which of you, by taking thought, can add one cubit unto his stature? And why take you thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow, and they toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothed the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Therefore take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewith all shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knoweth that you have need of all these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Take therefore no thought for the morrow, for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. Jesus Christ, I think about this. He didn't teach as the scribes. He didn't use long recitation. He taught with one as with authority. He astonished them with his teaching. He used examples that were right before their eyes, drawing allusions to them. They could look at it and see what he was talking about. Do you think there was some flowers of the field there when he said, take a look at these? I say, in the time of Solomon, there was nothing like this. Do you think there might have been some sparrows or some birds going around when he was teaching that? They're fed. That's how we did it. He would use examples right before their eyes to teach powerfully the spiritual things of God. In this whole section, there is a verse which I really believe in all my heart that it is the linchpin of this whole section that we just read. And that is verse 24. What was written before verse 24 and then what comes after verse 24, this is where it all hangs. Verse 24, no man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. It is not possible, and no one's exempt from this truth. The self-deception I was talking about earlier is where we think we know more about this than Jesus. I'm pretty clever, and I really do love God, so I really feel that I can serve God and mammon. I can do both. And that's a self-deception. And self-deception is the worst kind. Who are you going to blame? So now we're going to go before this. Today, we are going to look at the verses that come before verse 24. God willing, and the creeks don't rise, we'll look at the verses after verse 24. Next week. So if you would focus your attention to verse 19. Chapter 6, verse 19. Lay not up for yourselves. Who? Yourselves. Treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, where thieves break through and steal. Look at that word, lay up. That is the verb form of the noun that we see in the King James that says treasure. So it's a figure calling attention to this. It really should read like this. But treasure not for yourselves treasures upon earth. What does it mean to treasure something? To treasure something. To treasure a treasure. It can mean to save up. It can mean to heap up. You can see in other places in the King James it says about heaping up, and it's the same word. So treasuring treasure. And Jesus is teaching us not to treasure for ourselves upon the earth. Not to treasure for ourselves upon the earth. And then he shows how extremely temporary, how fleeting, how corruptible the treasures that we can treasure on this earth are. And he uses these examples. Where moth and rust doth corrupt, where thieves break through. The word rust in the Greek means eating. That's what it means, eating. Where moth and eating, well, what do moths do? They eat. And it also means anything else that seems to eat away. So you can see where they get the connotation of rust. And there's other places in God's Word, and we'll look at them today, where you see where things rust or tarnish away. What were the things that people hoarded up, that they treasured up for themselves in the lands and the times of the Bible? What were those things? One of the things that they treasured were clothing, garments. And some of them could be very elaborate and worth a lot of jingle. Another thing that they treasured up for themselves were great amounts of food. Food was very valuable. Where moth and eating doth corrupt. Where thieves break through and steal. The things in the, you know, I am not one to, you know, treasure up garments necessarily. But in the lands and times of the Bible, that's what they did. Where thieves break through and steal. A lot of the houses, so to speak, in lands and times of the Bible were made out of dried clay. It was basically dirt. And it wasn't a big thing for a thief to bust through the wall of your house. You can see in the book of Job where it talks about thieves marking a house during the daytime with a secret mark so that at nighttime in the dark they would come in and dig through the walls and steal from that person. They were keeping an eye on somebody, what they had. Maybe they're watching you buy something at Walmart. So maybe not at Walmart, to see what you had, and they would put a secret mark on the house, so that at night they could come back. Oh, this is the house that I marked. There's treasure there, and where thieves break through and steal. These are treasures that you treasure upon earth, treasures of earthly things. There is no place on earth where the treasures of the earth are completely safe and not vulnerable. How about today? How about today? We can treasure up things on earth. Maybe it's stocks. Maybe it's an account. Maybe it's crypto. Maybe they're not digging through the dirt of a house. But what do we have today? What can cause a value of something that we treasure up, things of the earth that we treasure up today? What happens to your 401k when there's inflation? Does it get nibbled away? Maybe someone's not breaking through the dirt side of my house today, but maybe they are hacking into my computer today. That they, phishing to find out. They're tricking me. They're scamming me. There's different ways for my, if I treasure things, the treasure of the earth, if I treasure it up upon the earth, there's anything of the earth, those kind of treasures are vulnerable and they're corruptible and they fade away and they're temporary. The self-deception is, I can still treasure up God and the things of God. What we're going to see is that which you truly treasure, that's where your heart's going to be. Now, I'm going to say right here and right now, there is nothing wrong with being sound financially and saving and investing. That is not what this is talking about. This is talking about treasuring it. Treasuring it. Think of Ebenezer Scrooge. What would he do in the counting house? He's treasuring it. He's treasuring it. Did it benefit him at all on this earth? He was a miserable man. Did he benefit anyone else on this earth? It was miserable. And when he died, where would it go? I remember there's a line in the book where it's like, well, where's his money going to go? And then one guy says, I don't know, maybe to his company. There's not even a... There's verse in Proverbs that says, a good man will leave an inheritance for his children. So I'm not talking about that either. I'm talking about treasuring it. Ooh. You look at it. You treasure it. And it's the darling of your heart. And it's temporary. And it's fleeting. And it's corruptible. And it can be stolen. And it's vulnerable. But rather, in verse 20... But rather, lay up for yourselves treasures. And that, once again, is treasure up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust or eating doth corrupt, where thieves do not break through nor steal. And then you have this word, F-O-R, for. Because of this, where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. What do men truly can they treasure? What's in heaven? What's in heaven? What's in heaven? What's the greatest treasure that there is in heaven? Yes! It's God! It's our Heavenly Father. It's a relationship with Him. Do you think we'll need money in heaven? Do you think we'll need to treasure up something to make things sparkle in heaven? Where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. That is huge. If I am deceiving myself thinking I can still treasure this here, I can treasure it. I can heap it up. I can build up the stockpile of it so it's a bigger treasure and I treasure it. And it's safe and I'll have it forever. You won't even have your own life forever if it's not for God and the Lord Jesus Christ and the hope of his return. But in this life right now, nothing is forever. And at my age right now, I'm beginning to see that more and more. What am I building this up for? Who's going to want this after I'm gone? I have things in this house that I consider very valuable that I probably both my kids would never want. Never! And I won't know the difference anyway because I'll be dead. But the treasure that we treasure up in heaven, and the greatest treasure that's in heaven, is God Almighty, our Heavenly Father, and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And guess who else will always be in heaven? We will, the church will, the loved ones that you prayed about this morning. Those are those things that moth won't eat up, thieves won't break in and steal. They're not going to steal Dean away from me in heaven. I will have him and love him forever. And this, Jesus is saying, he just got done talking about the hypocrites and them having their reward, and their reward is now. And if we treasured up the things of this earth for ourselves, how temporary is that? So temporary. The things of the heart. Jesus Christ was trying to get at the heart. He's trying to get at the heart. What do we truly, truly treasure? What kind of treasure won't be fleeting, temporary, vain, empty, compared to the treasure of the glory of God in heaven and the relationship that we have with him? That treasure is relational, and that treasure goes on everlastingly. How rich a teaching is Jesus sharing with them? Do you think it's possible for a man to be envious of someone else's treasure on earth? Well, how about I be really stingy with my treasure that I've got on earth? When it's within my power to do good. It's so encompassing. It's so huge. And then Jesus gets into this next section, and you've got people scratching their head about this, and we'll just try to keep it simple. Verse 22. The light of the body is the eye. If therefore thine eye be single, thy whole body shall be full of light. Single means really it's good and simple. And is focused on one thing. Remember what I told you? I really believe in my heart. What's the linchpin verse on this whole thing? Is you cannot serve two masters. For either you will hate the one and love the other. Or else you will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. If your eyes are going from one object of focus to the other. You ever see people like that? It's a condition. It's a condition of the eye where it's like, drives you crazy when you're talking to people like that. And I bet it drives them crazy that they're dealing with it. But can you focus, truly focus on two different spots at the same time? Can you truly do it? Can you truly, really have it in focus if you're going back and forth between two objects of focus? I have a thing called astigmatism. And if I take off my glasses, I've got three or four of you guys sitting, each one of you. It's crazy. I see double and sometimes more than double. I put glasses on, it's like, oh, there's only one Tim. Great. if thine eye be single. Now, a lot of the people are very concerned about what you are seeing, the light of the body. But the eye does something else also. The eye reveals what's going on inside you. You can see if someone's happy. You can see if someone's going to be compassionate. You can see what's on the inside through what the eyes are projecting. So it's not just this way in. It's also revealing the light in the body out. A good eye in the Hebrew is a kind and generous eye. It's a figure. And then we look at the next. But if thine eye be evil, and I am not talking about like the evil eye, they cast a curse on you with the evil eye. That's not what this is talking about. The evil eye. Have you ever had someone give you a glance with the evil eye? Liz can bring me to my knees with that. No, I'm just kidding. Todd doesn't know what that's talking about. I've seen Sarah give the kids the eye. But the evil eye, and you can go into Proverbs, and you can see in other places in the Old Testament where it talks about the eye is evil, and it's talking about some stingy person, a greedy person. It can either be a malicious look, or it can be a look of envy, and that's the evil eye. So when it talks about that, the evil eye, some scholars say it means a diseased eye that can't see. But really, what Jesus Christ is talking about in the context here is two separate things to focus on. But if thine eye be evil, thy whole body shall be full of darkness. If your eye is one of envy, and your eye is one of jealousy, and if your eye is one of malicious thought, for your own gain and really unhappy that someone else is thriving, that's the evil eye. And then no man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. The treasures of this earth are not always something that can be quantified in value. Sometimes it's standing or approval. Will you treasure that? That's your idol. That's your idol. It can be things. It can be valuable things that you save up. But it's also things, it's treasures of this earth that you treasure up for yourselves. Man, I take a look at this and I got to be, you know, I want to do what Jesus is saying. And if there's places in my life where that isn't there, then I need to take a checkup from the neck up, and I need to heal my heart about that. So we have this. This word mammon is wealth personified. You can't serve both. And wealth can take on a person to a person who's treasuring it. You name the wealth. You name the treasure. Treasures of this earth. It can be personified. Almost like it can have a name. Where you love it, and you serve it, and you protect it. And it sometimes mammon can even be deified where it's worshipped. You cannot serve God and mammon. Can't worship both of them. What does God say in the Old Testament about anyone worshiping anyone other than Him? It's not good. I, the Lord, Jehovah, am a jealous God. He wants our hearts. He wants our hearts. If mammon, wealth, and riches get so important and treasured in our lives more than God and the things of God, when it talks about lay your treasures up in heaven, it's heavenly things, it's relational things with our Heavenly Father. And it is quite clear that Jesus is showing you're deceiving yourself. We are deceiving ourselves if we think we can do both. And it's a present tense imperative. Lay not for yourself. Lay not, treasure not for yourselves treasures here upon earth. For those who are treasuring, it means stop it. For those who are contemplating about it or aspiring to it, it's a warning. Don't do it. It's that big. It's that emphatic. So Jesus has just put a shot across the bow of something that can be very hurtful for those that we love in our lives, including ourselves. We'll return our focus to God. And I think about Colossians 3. Set your affections above. Set your true affections, what you really, really love, above. And it's just as powerful as here. So Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for Jesus' teaching for us. May it make inroads into our hearts that we live it, that we can truly enjoy the greatest treasure ever, ever, and that's you. Thank you for this morning. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen.